Hey friends, welcome back to the Pulpit to Pew podcast and this week's edition of The Classroom, where we continue in the book of Hebrews. We've been studying this for several weeks, and today we finish out chapter 5 and just get into chapter 6. So enjoyed this study. We got pretty practical in it, challenging us to get into the Word and to grow spiritually. So without further ado, here is this week's adult Bible study. Okay, let's take our Bible, go back to Hebrews. We're going to start back in Hebrews chapter 5 today. This is where we, I think, left off the last time. We were in Hebrews 5. I went into the first part of verse 11, so we'll pick back up there. But just for context's sake, and it's going to be important, I'll briefly say about the overall context. Remember, he's writing to weary, persecuted Jewish believers that are just struggling with the persecution they're facing because of their identification with Christ, and they're being tempted to just kind of go back into the ways of Judaism. I'm going to explain that a little bit of what I mean by that here in just a little bit. But last week, when in chapter 5, we've been making a lot of these contrasts. He's been showing these Jewish believers that Jesus is greater than anything that you have been following in Judaism. He's greater than Moses. Moses was a wonderful man, but Jesus is greater. He's greater than the prophets, greater than the angels. Last week, he was talking about how Jesus is our great high priest. Then he started to mention Melchizedek, which he'll come back to in chapter number 7, but he didn't go down that road, and it's like he wanted to get deeper into the priesthood of Jesus, but then he's got a little bit of a rebuke to them. And I said this last week, right before I ended class. I said, next week, I'm going to call you guys dull of hearing, all right? So I warned the class, if you weren't here last week, all right, I was joking, I'm not going to call you dull of hearing, but the author of Hebrews was saying to these Jewish believers, I mean, you guys, there's this problem. I want to talk to you about the deeper truths, he's saying, but I can't. And here's the problem. Look at verse 11. He says, and I covered this first part last week, he says, of whom, talking about Jesus, we have many things to say unto you. I have a lot of things to say about Jesus and this Melchizedek. I have a lot of things to say, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. He said, I want to tell you about this, but you're not ready for it. You can't handle this right now because you're dull of hearing. The word dull means sluggish or lazy of hearing. You're not ready, you're not mature enough to handle the truth that you need to be learning. And he was saying this in a sense to their shame. Now, let me start by saying this. There's two types of immature believers. One is just a new Christian. We don't expect them to be mature. When someone first gets saved, they're not going to understand all of the principles, all the truths of the Bible. They just became a Christian. So that's understandable that they wouldn't, because they are a brand new baby. We don't look at a baby that's just born and criticize them for not being able to do multiplication tables and stuff when they're 1 month old. Nobody would sit there and lecture a kid like that. And if we saw a parent lecturing their kid, a 1 month old, for not being able to tell what 9 times 9 is, we would all say, that parent has lost it. It's crazy. Because we understand physically there's a stages of growth and understanding. And so they're one type of immature believer is just they're brand new at it. And so they don't know. They're learning. But then the other one who he's speaking to, for the most part, is those that have been saved for some time. This writing here is about 30 years after Christ has ascended. He's writing to some that have been converted for some time, but they just haven't grown. They've been dull of hearing. And that's who he's writing to here. And we can see this happen a lot of times even in churches where people that have been saved for years, but they're still not really deep when it comes to the Bible. And it can happen in all kinds of churches, and it can happen in all kinds of people. Doesn't mean that you're a horrible person. So I don't want anybody to leave. What I always want to hesitate is I don't want any of us to try to cover it up and be fake and act like we have it all together. The first step of growing out of this dullness is just being like, you know what? That's me. That's where I am. And that's not to anyone else to be judgment of that. It's just sometimes if we're going to get out of that dullness, we got to be like, yeah, I just haven't grown like I should. For me, You know, I've grown up in this church, so there was a time I was away for college and a time that I was away when I was pastoring, but I mean, it's all I've ever known. But so I got saved at 12 years old, but I was extremely dull of hearing from, you know, in my high school days. I mean, think about all the advantages I would have had. My grandpa was a pastor at the time, my dad was a deacon, and later became the pastor when I went to college. I had all these things, but I didn't care. I was saved. I came to church. And I didn't have an option to come to church, but I was saved and I came to church and I heard preaching or teaching. I could answer most of the questions you would ask on basic Bible things, but I was dull of hearing because I just didn't care. Man, I wanted to go hit home runs and score touchdowns and do all those other things. And so it didn't really matter to me. But when I got into college, I realized, though I had all of these advantages at my fingertips, I hadn't grown. And that at that point is when I was like, you know what? I want to learn every aspect of the Bible I can and what we have in Jesus Christ. And so, but there's still stages where we go through that dullness. It's a constant battle. So he says, I want to say this to you, but you're dull of hearing. You've become lazy spiritually. You're not maturing as you should be. And he's going to give some illustrations. He says in verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers. So you should be at that point where you are teaching these younger, immature believers, you should be teaching them and helping them. We would call today maybe even discipling them. You should be doing that, but you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. It's a fancy way of saying the basic truths of Christianity. He says, so you're kind of at a, chronologically, you're at an age spiritually where you've been saved for some time, and you should be the one that's mature and you're teaching these other people, but we still got to teach you. And that could be maybe someone in here. And that's, I say that's okay. It's not okay spiritually, but I'm saying you've got to start somewhere. You'd be like, you know what? I've been saved for 20 years and I just know the basics right now. Okay. So you got to start somewhere. But you have to examine your own heart. But he says, you're at a place here, these people where you should have been, you should have known more than this, but you don't right now. He says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, he's going to use this metaphor here throughout this, the milk and strong meat. I think we understand that. You have a one-month-old baby, they're drinking milk, you're not going to give them strong meat. You don't give them a steak to eat, okay? No parent is going to do that. I think we would understand that. They can't develop it. They don't have teeth. Can't chew it. None of that. And so they can't process that. A baby, we would understand, needs milk. Now, when you're 42 years old, milk's still not bad to have, but I probably should add some stronger meat to my diet, okay? If I'm going out and Michelle's like, you know what, you want to get a steak? And I'm like, ah, can I just have milk? You know, you guys are going to be like, this guy's a sissy, all right? This guy needs to understand their needs. There is a progression here. If you want to drink some milk, okay, but get some strong meat in your diet. Think, same thing spiritually. We can't be living, and we're going to get to what they are in a little bit, but as you grow, you need to learn the deeper things of the Bible. We need to learn that there needs to be growth in our lives spiritually. And in a minute, I'll get to the practical side of how to grow, but it ought to be there. It ought to be that we know the answer to some of these questions. It ought to be that we are digging into the Bible. We ought to be, and you're going to see this, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but we ought to be able to apply the Bible to our life. Part of growth is being able to apply the things that we've learned to our practical daily lives. You know, when the kids are young, you have to be with them the whole time to kind of guide them and help them with everything. You're watching, hey, watch out, there's a corner there, don't put your finger in that. I mean, you're constantly guiding them. And as a young Christian, a lot of times, they have a lot of questions. There's a man that got saved recently in our church, and Matthew is going through some discipleship with him, and when we were praying, Matthew was reading a text that man sent to him. And the question, I love this, because the question the guy had, which I won't give the question right now, but it was a very basic question. But when Matthew read it to me, we didn't go, wow, how does he not know that? He just got saved 2 weeks ago. But what we said was, I love this. He is wanting to learn. He's trying to figure this stuff out. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's showing growth. I don't know how old the guy is, 35, 36. I have no idea how old he is. But he is trying to learn and understand. He's growing. And so he's on the milk of the word right now. That's fine. But I tell you what, he keeps this up, He's going to be handling the meat of the Word of God because there's a daily discipline in his life. So he goes, these people, you should be to the point where you're handling some of the strong meat, but you have need of milk right now. He says, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So someone that's still just living on the milk, they're unskillful. That means they're not able to take the word of God and apply it to their daily lives. They constantly need someone to go along with them, to guide them, to help them. And that happens early on. I'm sure this will happen with Matthew, his discipling. There's been times when I've tried to teach people, and we call it discipling. I don't know if that's a terminology. I've got to be careful with terminology. But you're just helping them learn the Bible in one-on-one scenarios sometimes. And there's been times when I've had people reach out and say, hey, you know what? What should I do in this scenario? I remember one person that used to be an alcoholic, and they just gotten saved, and they had texted and said, hey, I'm going to this work thing, or I'm going to this out with this person. I was thinking about just having one beer this time instead of like all the ones I used to drink. What do you think I should do? What I loved is they texted a pastor to say, should I have just one beer? Well, my obvious answer is no, don't do that. But they were just learned. They were just, and so they were like, what do you think I should do? What advice? Because normally I would drink in this scenario. So what should I do in this scenario? But what was I doing? This was an adult that you're walking them through some of the basic principles. But I now laugh at it because it sounds funny to say out loud. But what I love is that person was growing. That person, by the way, right now doesn't drink at all, doesn't do drugs at all. They didn't have their license for 17 years. They're a faithful member of a church and serving and doing all kinds of things. But that person's there now because back then they were asking questions like, what do I do about this one beer? What do I do about this situation? They wanted to grow. And back then, we had to guide them through and hold their hand through a lot of different things. We didn't tell them, you need to call us before everything you do. I didn't say that. I don't believe that's a principle. I want you to learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you. But in those early stages, just like a newborn babe, sometimes it's good to have someone over you, a godly person over you, to kind of help you through some of these difficult things. And that's what they did. And a good church should do that. A good friend, you know, you ought to find someone and talk to people and find someone that will just help you grow if you're not ready. And it's not a shameful thing. It's part of growing spiritually. And so he says you're unskillful. They're unskillful in that because they don't know a lot of the Bible yet, so they're not able to apply it. They do apply a lot of times the things that they do know, but they were unskillful. These Hebrew believers were unskillful in many ways. He says, for he's a babe, but verse 14 is the key. Well, how do I grow then? Well, look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age. That means they're mature. Even those who by reason of use, look at that phrase, by reason of use, have exercised their senses, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's a few phrases here that help us get practical on how to grow. At first, he says, even those who by reason of use, it's something you have to do daily. You're not going to see the major growth all in one day. This is where we as Americans struggle. We want that instant, we want it to happen right now. Like, I want to see instant growth. But it's not always going to happen as quick, and you can't always see it. Just like my kids, we have the markings in our, I've told you before, and I can see where Jeremiah or Elijah, where they've grown and how tall they've gotten. And Jeremiah, every time he's there, hey, let's see if I've grown. And then he'll get up there, and if it's grown a little bit, he'd be like, when did that happen? I didn't even see it happen. I'm like, I didn't either, you know. And I remember as a kid always thinking when we did it at our house, I always thought, well, it must just happen when you're sleeping because I don't feel it. But growth happens like that even physically. You don't see it. Same thing happens spiritually. It's going to happen, but we have to be disciplined and patient. It takes time. He says, who by reason of use, first of all, you have to be busy doing it. You have to determine and be practical in this. And it says, and have their senses exercised. The word exercised there is the Greek word trained to discern both good and evil. You have to actually daily show up, just like training. Ryan and I, years ago, this has been years ago now because we don't do it, but we were lifting weights. And we had a I don't remember what it was, Tuesdays, Thursdays or something. We'd show up at the high school. We'd go in and we had a little thing we were following. We'd track it. We were lifting weights and doing everything. And we were training. And the first time we got there, we'd put a certain amount of weight on because we hadn't done it in a while. So we didn't know where we were going to be. We put something on there and we would do it and be like, great. The next week we'd move up a little bit more, do some more. And by the time we were done, we had progressed quite a bit because we start a little bit at a time consistently doing it. That was something physical. The same thing happens spiritually. We just grow. So what do? Well, I show up to church and I listen. I show up on Monday and I do my devotions. I read the Bible. And you know what? You're not going to understand it all. So I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but part of the just practical, I need to daily show up. And then I just need to ask questions. What do we do when we learn? You ask questions. So you read something like, oh, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what this means. We have so much access to stuff today. You can Google most of your questions. And I know not everything you're going to find is good, but a general question, you're going to find probably an answer. Or you're going to find something to narrow it down, and then you can go ask someone else, say, what do you think about this? Here's the question I had. But it takes, if you want to grow, it takes asking questions. I was thinking about it on a practical level. When my life all changed 7 years ago or so, and I was done pastoring, and I was all of a sudden back, and I needed a job, and I was, and they hired me at the bank. Man, I never worked at a bank. I went from college into pastoring, got my master's, and I was pastoring, and then all of a sudden everything changed. And so I was trying to figure out banking. I don't know anything about banking. It was so embarrassing to be there, and I don't know what I'm doing. But my mindset is show up, figure it out, ask questions. Like, I've just never been ashamed to ask questions because I always want to learn. So I started out at the bottom again. And so I'm learning underwriting. I was underwriting at the time. I didn't even know the term underwriting meant. Like, am I underneath my desk writing? I don't know what underwriting meant. I literally had no idea what underwriting meant. But they said I needed a job. They said, can you do underwriting? I said, I have no idea what it is, but I'll figure it out. And the guy said, you've got your master's degree. I'm sure you'll figure it out. He'll hire me. It took me a while. I figured out what underwriting was. Then they said, well, we have a job opening for loan officer. So I was like, well, great. I'll put in for loan officer. Do you know what loan officers do? No. I mean, do I wear a badge? I'm an officer. No, I don't know what loan officers do. I'll figure it out. And so I just, I'm around some smart people. Chase Haltom is a genius. So I'm around him. Ashley Burns, Matthew's sister. Matthew may not be a genius, but his sister's pretty smart. All right. She's a loan officer. Asked him questions. Do you think I could do this? They said, yeah, I think you can do it. Just learn. So they train you. I just ask questions. And now that I've been doing this, the loan officer part, for 4 years, if you had a question right now about a mortgage, I'd still rather talk to you about the Bible because I know more about that. But if you ask me a question about a mortgage, I could help you walk through a mortgage. Whereas you've asked me 4 years ago, I would say, Ashley, can you hold my hand with this and tell them what they need? I brought them to the person that has the answer because I didn't know. But now Leah may disagree because she cleans up all my mistakes. She cleans up all my mistakes when we send it to loan operations. But you ask questions, you got to show up every day, and you learn. It happens even in the practical world of banking. So why do we think it's different when it comes to the Bible? You may say, I don't know much of the Bible right now. Okay, clock in every day. Every day, you get up, whatever your time would be. Say, hey, I'm going to clock in today and spend some time in the Word. I'm going to read it. Well, I don't understand it. Ask a question. Write it down. Look it up. Study it. That's the process of growing. He says, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised or trained. And when you do that, you're continuously training and using. Now you're able to discern, it says, both good and evil. Now you're able to make that decision. Should I sit down at this dinner and have this? Or should I go watch this? Should I do this? You don't have to constantly be asking someone. Not a problem if you do ask somebody or get their advice. It's just a human, by the way, giving an advice. Everybody has different ways of... But it's a way, it's asking these questions. It's all a way to train your senses and learn how to spiritually... being able to sense what is good and what is evil. But it all comes down to this book right here. Because what I've always said to people I disciple, I don't want you, when I was pastoring, I said to my church, but I would say, I don't want you to grow up to think, what would Brad do in this situation? Because I'm just a guy that leads my family, and I may have some different standards than you would have. So don't learn to think, what would Brad do? Say, what does the Bible say? And how does the Spirit of God lead you based on the Bible? But early on, they may not do that. You know, you think about this in a practical sense. Sorry, I'm getting very practical with this today, but when I grew up, all I knew, and Becca, all we knew is how our mom and dads did things. It's all because I lived in my home. I didn't live in anybody else's home. So if mom and dad said this was cool, then I thought it was cool. My dad talked about playing shortstop and pitching. So you know what I did when I would play baseball? Shortstop pitcher. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. So that's all I knew, because that's what they talked about. Things that they wouldn't do, I wouldn't do. They thought it was dumb. I think about that now. I watch, when you grow up in your different families, the Collins family, it's fun because I married into their family. And Liam loves Star Wars. He thinks Star Wars is the greatest. And I don't like Star Wars because I didn't grow up watching it. But he talks all about Star Wars. So you hear my kids are like, oh, I don't like Star Wars. They may like it. I don't know. They've never seen it. Liam's saying, it's the best thing ever. My kids are saying, it's terrible. It's stupid. My kids are like, watch sports. Liam's like, sports are terrible. You know, they go back and forth. But it's all because their dad don't like sports and likes Star Wars. And their dad likes sports and hates Star Wars. So it's just this constant. It's funny. These little kids, they debate over things they don't know. They're just parroting what their parents say. But, you know, as I grew older, all of a sudden there's things I had to make decisions for my own family. And I call my dad a lot, or he would, but you make your own decisions. What happens? I'm saying all this to say, you got to set it for your own life and say, all right, how do I grow spiritually? Ask questions, get into the Word, and study things out for yourself. Now, we're only going to cover 3 verses in chapter 6, and the next week we get into, just so you know, the most controversial New Testament passage there is next week. It's going to be fun, all right? But we're not going to get there yet. But look at chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, based on what he just said about they only need meat, they're only able to take the milk, they're not growing, they're not exercising themselves spiritually. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. He's saying the ABCs of the Christian life, basically. Leaving that, let us go on unto perfection. The word perfection just means you're going to be perfect. Anytime in the King James Bible you see the word perfection, almost always means mature or complete. So he says, you need to be mature or complete in this. And he says, go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. So you're not moving on from the foundation. And then he lists 6 things. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God. Now, the doctrine of baptisms, let me just go ahead and get this out of the way. The word baptisms there is a different Greek word than where baptisms used. So he's not actually talking about baptisms like you see in our New Testament church where you dunk them in water. This is actually, the Greek word is different. It's actually the idea of ceremonial washings, and I'll explain why that is in a minute. But he's talking about, so the doctrine of washings, he says, and of laying on of hands, which is another Old Testament thing, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So he's listing some basic foundational things, but that's why I drew my little picture today. Because you know what he listed? See, Judaism has some similarities with Christianity. Christianity came out of Judaism, but some of the basic things that would be the same would be what he mentioned here. The repentance from dead works. Well, yeah, that's Judaism would talk about that in the Old Testament. The doctrine of baptism, or the doctrine of washings, the ceremony of cleansings, guess what? That was all Judaism. The eternal judgment, they talked about that in Judaism. We talk about it in Christianity as well. And so what these, remember who we're talking to, these immature, young, persecuted Jewish believers that were considering going back into Judaism, what they were doing is they were moving from Christianity. They're not moving from Christianity, but moving backwards a little bit and getting into this safe zone right here that is all the things that are both Judaism and Christianity. So if someone wanted to talk about repentance from dead works, well, that's Christianity, but it's also Judaism, so I could blend in right here in the middle. You want to talk about the doctrine of washings? Well, they talk about baptisms, and we talk about the washings. I can just blend in right here in the middle, and it was safe. But you know what's not safe in their time they lived? To talk about the cross of Jesus Christ, who died, he was buried, and rose again. Ooh, that's persecution. You didn't see that mentioned anywhere right here in this Hebrews 6, did you? Because that identifies you with Christianity. They liked the safe zone that was both Christianity and Judaism, but didn't invite persecution. Now, I don't think I have anybody tempted to go back into Judaism. So let's take that illustration out for a second. Let's modernize this. Let's just call this, let's call our moral person. Okay, a moral person would say, be kind one to another, right? A moral person says be kind. And a Christianity says be kind one to another. So a lot of us can be like, yeah, all right in here. I'm good with that. A moral person would probably say, help those that are needy. And there's a lot of unsaved people that help people with flat tires and help people. So that's not this good. Christianity would say, help those that are needy. So, hey, that's a safe area right there to be a Christian, Bo. There's a lot of, I could go on with a lot of illustrations that are safe. And a lot of us like to just stay in the safe area. And our Christianity, when we're talking to others and we're talking to them, we like to stay in that safe area that, yes, the world would say this. And if a good moral person, Christianity says this, but I don't have to necessarily identify with Christianity, but I'm just staying in the good moral safe place, but I'm also abiding by my Christian stuff. But one that moves on to maturity says, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about Jesus Christ. And in our world today, I don't think we're under, I mean, a lot of people say, well, we're under a lot of persecution as Christians, not compared to other countries. We've got it pretty good here. But it is getting worse and worse. And there are things that you can't just join the world. This transgender thing right now that's going on, you can't find middle ground with that. We got to be clear on what the Bible says on that. And that's tough. That can invite some hatred. That can invite, but we have to stand against this. Our world pushes to our kids, my kids, and your kids, and your grandkids. It pushes the tolerance of homosexuality. But that is absolutely against what the Bible says. Destroys families. And again, the common phrase is, and I'm agreeing with this, we're not against that individual, we're against that sin, and that is very true. But there's no common ground right here. We have to be, the Bible says. You see, again, it's easy to talk about be kind. Well, I could teach all day on be kind, and nobody's going to get controversial on that. But when you stand up and say some of these other things are wrong, that's when it invites some frustration. But we have to stand on the Bible. This is what we hold to. And we're trending towards that, but there's going to come a time when just to say the most common things, that if you're born a man, you're a man. Just to say the most common things that wouldn't even have been questioned 20 years ago is going to put you in this weird category. And in time, you're going to be criticized, and if you train your kids that way and they're not tolerable. And that's when, as a family, you got to decide, hey, I'm going to stick to what the Bible says. And it's going to take a mature believer that's growing in their faith to be able to discern between good and evil and to be able to stick with it. Sometimes the discerning, that's not hard to discern. I mean, that's pretty simple. God created Adam and Eve. Go throughout. If you only knew the one passage in Genesis, that's all you really need. But if you needed other passages, there's more. So that's not hard to discern between good and evil. What's hard to discern in that, what's hard to do in that is just to stick with it when you're being told you're wrong, or being told you're hateful, or it's a hate crime, or you're not tolerable. That's when it's difficult to stand right here. And the Jewish Christians, they weren't tackling those things, but they were trying to find their common ground. And what I'm saying, just to make it practical to us today, is it's easy for us to kind of want to drift into this the worse our society gets. And I don't mean that you stay over here and be mean and hateful and weird. I'm just saying you just stick to the Bible. You can still be kind and compassionate and loving and caring, but just say, no, I stick to what the Bible says. And this is where it lands me. So he says, so to get back to the text, he was listing six things that are a part of Judaism that are also somewhat a part of Christianity that they were kind of going back to. But he's saying, listen, we've got to move on. I love this phrase back in verse 1. Let us go on into perfection. Let us go on into maturity. That's my challenge for you today. I don't know where every one of you are. Maybe all of you are the most spiritual people in the world. You're growing and you're doing great. Maybe some of you are on some milk and you want to move on. My challenge for us today in this lesson is the same as verse 1. Let us go on unto maturity. We've got to challenge ourselves to grow. So as I close this, the only way to get there is we have to think about, I was going to write them on the board, but I'm not. We have to think practical. If you're in here and you say, you know what, I'm not real mature when it comes to handling the Bible. I need to know it more. So just think through right now some practical things that we would have to do to get there. We would know we just have to say, read the Bible. We know that. But that's, okay, I'm going to end up writing on the board. Sorry. If read the Bible is one, okay, if read the Bible is the practical thing to do, that's not the problem of most people, because I would say everybody in this room wants to read the Bible. No, there's probably nobody, if I asked you, do you want to read the Bible? Nobody would say, no, I don't want to. The problem is not that we don't, our desire, so we got to break it down even more. So we got to set a time. So we got to figure out what is the best time for me to read. That's just the practical step. For me, it's I can't do it first thing in the morning because I'm the guy that's going to wake up. I'm going to wake up the latest time I can to get my shower, get my teeth brushed, get dressed, and get to work. I'm going to get to work 7 minutes early, but I'm going to sleep to the latest amount of time. So morning's not my time. But my lunchtime is a good time. Or right as I get to work, by 7 minutes early, spending that time right there, that's my time. I've found my time, but I've set my time. I don't know what time works for you. And so if I was to help you with this and you came to me, I can't say, well, you got to choose 7:53 like me. It's not going to work. You got to find your own time. So read the Bible's a desire we all have, but then we got to set our own time. I would say, but then what's going to happen is you are going to read the Bible, but you're not going to understand it, and then you get discouraged and you quit. You're like, this doesn't make any sense to me. That's why I hear all the time. So then we got to write. I don't know why I'm still doing this, but we got to write down questions. You got to write down questions. Say, I don't understand this, so I'm going to write this down, and now I'm going to either go back later because I don't have time now, because I'm going super into the weeds practical here. Because here's what I hear all the time. Well, I don't understand this. And I'll say, okay, well, write down the questions. Well, I wrote them down, but now I'm out of time. I got to get to work, so I didn't have time to go study them. Well, write them down and find a time later to go back and research it or go back. So it takes some discipline. But once you get in a rhythm and once you do this and once you stick with it, next thing you know, you're a year down the road and you're looking back and you're like, man, I've really grown. You didn't notice it like my son on the board. You didn't necessarily notice it, but all of a sudden now you're being able to handle the Bible. The pastor's saying some things, and you're like, that makes sense to me. And you're able to converse with people, and you're growing, but it takes very practical steps. It's more than just, well, I got to read my Bible. I got to do it. No, set a time to do it. Set a time to go revisit the questions you have. Seek out a person that you can get some advice, some counsel from. Ask somebody about a book or something you can read. Set some practical steps so that you can move beyond the milk and get to the strong meat. And when you do that, you're going to grow spiritually, and it's going to help you as we navigate parenting, as you navigate Christian life, navigate this world. We've got to be able to become students of the Bible. It's important. Let's pray.